Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. Yes, and you've tuned in one more time to When Numb Is Not Enough. Oh, but some of you folks are wondering, well, where's the theme song? Here we go. Let's give you a taste of that so you can rise up with the rest of us.
I see it in you, so we can walk it out. We gon' walk it out, ooh, all day.
So she's up one more time, and so are we. Today's show is going to be, I think, pretty interesting. So for some of you folks that are traditionalists, might kind of upset you or get you moved, your dander up, and that's okay, too, because sometimes we need to, as we're getting up, we need to get fired up, okay, and be able to stand our ground on things. I'm not going to go into the national issue that we know has swept this country over the last several weeks building up to a Supreme Court decision, but at least know where you stand as you continue to move forward. And those of you who are uncomfortable, I'm going to remind you, you write and you vote, and that's it. Don't go crazy and take the world on your shoulders because it probably won't accomplish anything, but just know your stand of how you feel, okay? But can your feelings be so overwhelming? And when do you know you write? Somebody said to me one time, I know I'm right because this is what my mama taught me. Oh, I know that's a hotbed because people are like, wait a minute, my mama raised me. She know everything. Okay. I'm not going to touch that one. However, today's topic is about traditional healing. What does that mean? Did you ever have a family member who said, you know what, you need to just get over it. Move on. Well, I wonder how many people didn't have that skill or ability and they didn't move on. I won't go so morbid as to imagine what they probably did. And then there's traditional, not medicine, because there's advances there and setbacks. I'm talking about this thing called psychology or just being able to seek professional, emotional, and mental help to get through something. Which one is the one that we need to be going with? Because all things new ain't good, and sometimes when we forget the past and we repeat it, we know, oh, I wish I would have learned so I could become better. I don't know. I'm a little confused. Let's ask Dr. Clark and see what she has to say about traditional healing as it relates to emotions and all that other stuff. Dr. Clark, can you shed some light on this?
Good morning. It is good to be back to continue having the conversation. And if you all have not noticed, our conversation is just not about just sitting in grief, right, and loss and getting past that and creating strategies. But sometimes our, if you notice, our time together sometimes takes a different turn because whatever people write in about, that's what we're going to address. And so it's been brought to my attention that it's been asked and it's been said that sometimes we just need to get over it. And I would venture to say that those types of perspectives come from how we've been conditioned, how we've been raised, and we operate from a perspective of what we know to do best. However, what we have learned and how we have been raised may not be what's in our best interest as we start to grow and develop things for ourselves. Usually when we hear statements like, you need to just get over it, or you need a thicker skin, right? Those kinds of statements have an underlying basis from where they're coming from.
Uh-oh.
And so that's the part that we may be able to get under, we may not, because that comes from a place of avoidance. That comes from a place of fear. That comes from a place of, well, because I don't know and I'm uncertain about it, then I'm just not going to deal with it. And if we think about it, sometimes in the process of dealing with challenging situations, let's not even say grief, but a challenging situation comes up for us. That's what we do. We mask it and we just tunnel through it, right? We get this tunnel vision. We throw ourselves into our work, or we throw ourselves into something else to distract us from that thing. And those distractions may work temporarily, but as they are temporarily working what seems to be in our favor, they're actually working against us internally. Because now on the inside, what's taking place is this battle with our bodies, our minds, our spirits, trying to now categorize and place this stuff somewhere. And what will eventually happen, we start to see the manifestation of it through illness, through stomach aches, through headaches, through backaches, through high blood pressure, through diabetes, through emotional distress, through strained relationships, through why can't I keep this job? Through why, where is all my money going? Through all these now behaviors and things that are taking place, because what we have in our mind is, I just need to get over it, or I just need a thicker skin, or things are not as bad as I make them out to be. When we have those things ingrained in our minds, it becomes a challenge to sometimes change our mindset. But that's what this whole healing process is about, is daring to have the courage to make a shift in our mindset as to how we are going to live life in the face of adversity and trauma and tragedy. And if we continue to say, well, in my family, this is how we do it. In my family, this is how we do it. In my family, again, may not always be right. That's just all family knew to do. It may take you to introduce family to a new way of being. It may not just be beneficial for you, and I would offer that it's not going to just be beneficial for you, but there's somebody else in that family wondering, why is it that I have to do it this way? But they don't have the courage to speak up and say that this way is not working for me. And so we have to allow ourselves to build up enough confidence and say, I want this healing process for me, or I want this change for me, I want this restoration for me, this transformation for me, I want better for me. And knowing that when you want better for yourself, there's going to be some roadblocks, there's going to be some obstacles, there are going to be some walls that we feel like we're banging ourselves, banging our heads against the wall, and it may come with a little resistance. And so we must be knowledgeable and aware that all these things will come to say, no, 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 no. And we've got to develop those combat voices in our head to say, yes, yes, yes. this is what I need to do in order for me to be able to live a healthy, productive life. And so when we are faced with that, you just need to get over it or grow that thick skin, what we're doing in the area of grief is we're masking. Remember we talked about one of those 16 areas of grief being that mask, M-A-S-K-E-D, grief, that grief that we cover up, or that inhibited grief that we don't allow ourselves to express, and the ripple effect that comes as a result of us masking and of us giving ourselves those false narratives that we can just tunnel through it. We can try. Again, it may work temporarily. But why not put ourselves in a position to be whole and to be productive in the face of that? We're still going to get through it, but how we get through it matters for the sustainability of our life in the long run. And that's what this process is about. It's not a process of get in and get out. It's not like In-N-Out Burgers, who I'll venture to say is not In-N-Out anyway because the lines are always way too long for me. It's not an In-N-Out. It's not a one-stop shop. It's a process. And sometimes it's a long process. And to be honest, it is a lifelong process. Because as you start to grow and develop and go through certain stages of your life, as you go from childhood to early adolescence, to adolescence, to young adults, to older adults, to seniors, those are all different stages of development where your needs are going to change at every stage. And your wants and your desires may change at every stage. And so what worked for you in the previous stage may not work as you develop somewhere else. And so we are constantly changing and evolving beings, which is part of what makes us such unique people. People will try to guess us and say, oh, well, she's like this or he's like that, and this is what they need to do, and this is how you handle that, and type A person, you need to do this, and type B person, you need to do that. Everything we do in life is an individual journey. And so, yes, we do have people who are diehard traditionalists. We see tradition in churches as well, that this is how we've always done it in the church. And then you try to bring a new perspective, and then you're criticized for that. We hear job environments say, we want fresh ideas, but then when you bring them, oh, no, this is how we've always done things. Just because that's how something's always been done doesn't mean that it's right. It served. It was right for a time period. But now I would just offer, open yourself up to looking at a new way of doing things. Traditions are traditions for the time that they serve. There's a time and a place for everything. And sometimes we need to tweak things, just like we need to take our cars in every now and then at, what, 3,000 to 5,000 miles to get an oil change. And then sometimes we have to take our cars in to get tune-ups. It's the same things with our minds, our bodies, our spirits, our growth, and our healing. Sometimes we need a little tune-up, and sometimes we have to make adjustments. Sometimes we need to change a spark plug or two and put something new in there so that the car can have more longevity. Sometimes we got to take the old spark plugs out and put some new ones in so that we can have some longevity too and that we can be sustained positively through the course of our lives. Dr. Brown, you have feedback?
Boy, folks, I hope that helped. I got a text that came in as Dr. Clark was sharing. First, I'll make sure that I pay my respects. I think that was spot on. But traditionalists, it's a hard thing for them to accept. So this may throw things into a different direction, but that's okay because we don't want to lock in and ignore some of the other folks that may write. So if I can summarize, the young man was saying that if I would have gone against what my parents told me to do, I probably wouldn't be able to write you today. Because I don't know if I'm suffering from grief or post-traumatic stress. I left home at 18 years old, and I've not returned, and I'm 28 now. I'm still afraid of my parents, but I'm also dealing with other stuff. And then he just stopped. So I don't know how we're going to even address this because it was somewhat incomplete, but I think he led to some hints of how do we do that compromise, or do we just take it on the chin of what our parents may say and do like a lot of us have done? As soon as they turn their back, we go do something different, okay? I don't know. That one kind of got me, but I understand because there was a thing that Dr. Clark and I will be talking about, which is corporal punishment, not just in the institutions. I remember when they took it out in 1972 from the schools, but our parents mimicked our slave masters. That's how you took care of animals. You beat them. And I know they called it whooping, it's a light word for it, okay? But at the end of the day, some of them were pretty bad. There was a young man who they used to call him Period Boy because as he walked down the halls in schools, he was bleeding out of his jeans. Not trying to get morbid or anything, but that has probably is something like what this person is holding on to. And how do they get over it? Traditionally, he's told to just, you know, toughen up. Any comment on that, Doctor?
That's a tough one, and it is very incomplete. And it sounds like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you need to read it again, that there were some principles or some values and some beliefs that he grew up with. And it sounds like maybe they at some point, they didn't really work for him, so he made the choice to leave. And he has not returned because he's kind of gone against the grain and what his family may be thinking of him because he has this fear. Does that kind of sum it up?
It does, and I'm sure he probably misses his family. So he's dealing with that feeling possibly incomplete. I've seen siblings who grew up with each other, and they were very, very tight no matter what they were going through. And then when that bond is broken, there is an immediate sense of loss.
Absolutely.
And it can
linger. I was just ready to say that. He's definitely going through some loss. And it sounds like some long-term, complicated, chronic loss because it sounds like he has not given himself the space to try to deal with some of these things, to put himself in a different position. So at the point that he decided that I'm not going to deal with this, I'm going to leave and live life on my own terms, so to speak, what have been the benefits for him? And I think that if he can show look at the positive strides that I've been able to make, he doesn't even know what response he's going to get at this point. Remember, he's operating off of a mindset that he had back when he was, 18 years old?
Right.
And this is 10 years now because you said he's 28. That was 10 years ago. So he's operating off of that 18-year-old narrative. He really doesn't even know what that response is going to be like if he has truly not had any contact for 10 years. And so he's allowing that fear to drive his motivation to stay away instead of slowly trying to reintroduce himself into that space. It may be as simple as reaching out with a letter. Maybe as simply as reaching out, hey, family, I'm fine, miss you guys, or whatever. But planting the seed, kind of throwing out the lifeline to see what the response would be. And if he feels that there's still things he needs to work on with himself, because he talked about his, you know, if he, whether he was grieving or if he had PTSD, what would be what gives him the impression that he may be dealing with some PTSD? Is he having nightmares? You know, is he having flashbacks? You know, what is happening for him that would give him the indication that that may be what he's going on? The grief and the loss, I could definitely see that without a doubt. And we know that with that comes some residual things with it. And so I would just offer for him to have a sit down and have a conversation with someone and get some clarity for himself first. And then try to mend some of those relationships that he feels that he has lost.
Very, very good point. So before we get off track, the number that he needs to call so that maybe he can set up and have a session with you would be what?
818-646-6608. Or email me at info@rotm.la. And trust me, if there's something that I feel that more is needed, then I will definitely have resources available.
Outstanding. And show this, folks, this show is brought to you by Flashback Academy. And I'd love for you to find out more about what it is that we are doing to help get our veterans and our former foster care youth off the street, because the numbers are continuing to grow. Speaking of growing numbers, I'm noticing that there are people who are chiming in or they're listening later. We welcome that and are encouraged and inspired. If you do not have the means, especially during this time, to be able to help us through our Cash App, we totally get it. But you might know someone else who may. So I strongly suggest continue to pass the word about our show, and we'll pray on it and continue to work hard and give life the best that we can offer today and many other days to come until that's our time to transition. But Dr. Clark, if you could start kind of wrapping this up, we'll be able to go out of here inspired to take on this weekend and preparing for a new week.
Absolutely. As we take a deep breath in, I thought we would try to give a different perspective here and bring some uplifting into this. So by Dr. Alan Wolford, sometimes I wonder, does laughter have a place in my healing? Laughter cleanses my soul and mends my heart. It connects me to the world around me. When I allow myself levity, I discover that I am alive. So allow yourself the space to laugh and release some of the hurt, the pain, the frustrations that we might be feeling during this time. Be kind to yourself. Give yourself room to grieve. Grieve on your terms. Until next time, have a good evening.
I promise we'll take the world to a dream.
about our innocence, ladies and gentlemen. As Dr. Clark has said, a little laughter won't hurt. So how about going out with some laughs?